Hello and welcome to the Eat PhD Team podcast, the podcast here to help you with your relationship with food and body by giving you evidence-based techniques to support yourself with a sprinkling of feminism, a dash of dismantling diet culture and a side of vulnerability as we share our own messy lives with you. I'm Emilia, a registered nutritionist and PhD with the sole purpose of making your life happier and healthier. If you love it, please do go wild and share it. And if you're ready for support with our coaching, details are in the show notes. Hello and welcome to episode number 303 of the Eat PhD Team Podcast solo episode today. It has been a while. You may have noticed that Monday episodes have condensed a little bit. And the reason for that was because I wanted to ensure that every podcast that I did release on a Monday was basically top notch, stuff that you haven't heard before, and top quality, as my work always is. And so Monday solo podcasts now are very specific. They are passionate. They are educational, you know. Not that I blow my own trumpet ever. It's definitely not what I do. And so, yeah, that's why. The other reason is because, in case you don't know, I also do the Eat PhD Mentoring Podcast, the First Time Mother by Choice Podcast, the EIQ Nutrition Podcast, and then, of course, the Thursday episode of this. And at some point, you have to look at yourself and think, where is the best use of my time to have the most impact that I want to have? And so that is what I did in the new year. So here we are with the solo podcast, because I have something obviously extremely, extremely important to say. This topic today is based on multiple conversations I've had in the last month or so with coaches, with clients, with even people on Instagram. I say that because I often will always try and reply to people on Instagram, but I'm not always the most efficient. That's why if you ever message me on Instagram, I always encourage you to WhatsApp me instead, because on there I am extremely, extremely efficient, at least on my on one of my WhatsApp numbers, not so much on the other. But hey, listen, we can't reply to everyone, but we can when it comes to supporting relationships with food and business. It's what I'm here for. It's the sole purpose of my life. Anyway, this topic today is not a new experience for me in conversations, but it is particularly prevalent at the moment. And it's this kind of justification of our behaviours because it's what we've been conditioned to believe is true. Now, I'm going to kind of pull back a little bit and give you an example. Let's take a business example of, you know, procrastination. If you believe that you are not a good business person, if you believe that you're not good and a good enough coach, then often you have this fear of really going balls to the wall, putting everything into things, because you risk failing. But also, if you don't go balls to the wall, you will fail. And if you procrastinate, don't put enough work in, you'll fail, and it will confirm the belief that you can't do it. If we take a diet example, internalized thin ideal is a kind of classic that, you know, we speak at Eat PhD about all the time. But if we have this belief that that thinner is better, thinner is more successful, thinner is more attractive, etc., etc. We've internalized this in ideal, whether that's because of, you know, societal conditioning, cultural conditioning, interjected values, i.e., you know, the values that we've picked up from parents at school for our entire lives, where we've been celebrated for being thinner. It doesn't necessarily matter where we have developed these beliefs from, but if we have these beliefs, it is very difficult to change our behaviours and, for example, say, improve our relationship with food if we're maybe underweight. And improving our relationship with food looks like gaining a little bit of weight, maybe to restore your menstrual cycle, as an example. it can feel quite difficult to do that. So if we think about like the kind of CBT model of beliefs, thoughts, behaviours, think about it like beliefs impact our thoughts, feelings and behaviours, right? So our thoughts about specific situations, business, bodies, food, etc., dating, our thoughts about these situations are impacted by these core beliefs that we have, okay? So core beliefs impact our thoughts, which then impact our emotions. So our emotions in response to these thoughts, which then impacts our behaviours. Take an overeating example of this. If we are struggling with restriction and binge eating, like this regular cycle, and you know we're working on improving your relationship with food, so restricting less, getting a regular intake, removing overeating. If we have this internalized thin ideal, thinner is better, and we believe that restricting is contributing to this thinness, which often it's not, by the way, because it's leading to overeating, but that's, you know, this is a side note. So we have these beliefs that thinner is better. Our thoughts are that we should restrict because thinner is better. We then feel restricted. We might feel anxious. We might feel hungry is not an emotion. We might feel upset about our bodies. And as a result of these things, the thin impacts our behaviours, whether we restrict more or we overeat, etc. Even if the thoughts and the beliefs that we have are unhelpful, often they have become core beliefs and kind of consistent thoughts, so we keep hold of them. The problem is that what happens sometimes is that the behaviours that we experience or do as a result of these beliefs often don't serve us well, but they feel familiar and they feel safe. Restriction, as an example, is not serving you. For a lot of people, is not serving you. But it feels familiar, it feels safe. Procrastination is not serving you, but it might feel familiar and it might feel safe. And so we develop this reluctance to let it go and we cling on to it. And then we kind of get to this point where we go, well, it's not my fault. These are the values that I've taken from society. These are the beliefs that I've developed because of my childhood, etc. And it's not about fault. Often we have internalized these beliefs and we, like, ultimately most of us are looking for connection and acceptance. All of us are looking for connection and acceptance. If there's this risk of rejection, that we avoid it at all costs. And so if we have kind of develop this belief that, again, let's come back to the thin ideal of like thinner is more accepted, the fear around changing that when we really genuinely believe this to be true is real. And the safety that comes with continuing to restrict, continuing to struggle with low energy, potentially continuing to overeat, for example, that feels safe even though it's not serving for us and actually serving us. And actually, if we begin to, for example, eat regularly and remove that restriction, it can feel really unsafe. And when it feels unsafe, we back off and we say, no, it's because of that. I just have these beliefs. And I just want to touch on for a second, like, I don't love growth mindsets, fixed mindsets, although I do like I think there's potentially some flaws in it, but I like the overall, I like some of the research behind it. Some of the growth mindset, this is Carol Dweck's research if you want to look into it. She was kind of one of the pioneers of growth versus fixed mindset. But the idea is that some of the growth mindset views certain traits like intelligence, abilities, talent, etc. as learnable and capable of improvement through effort. Fixed mindset, on the other hand, is someone with a fixed mindset tends to view these things as stable and unchangeable over time. So, for example, you believe that you're born with a set of skills and that you can't change them. I am useless at navigating. I mean, you wouldn't know that when you were born. But you get to the point where you go, oh, that's just me. I'm just crap at that. And you know it in your voice, right? You know it. I hear it with coaches a lot. I'm just not good at this. I'm just not confident in front of the camera. I'm not very good at prioritizing my time. It's bull. You might not feel great about it right now, but these things are changeable. These things are malleable. We can put effort into these things to change them. If we have a growth mindset, if we believe that we can change them. And what I think is interesting when it comes to these beliefs that we have about ourselves is that if you want to change, which most of you do if you're listening to this podcast or you're working with ETPHD in some way, you need to adopt this growth mindset that also your beliefs can change. You don't have to be stuck in this, well, these are my beliefs, this is what I was exposed to, this is it. I internalized the thin ideal. I exhibited weight stigma that I am ashamed of now, you know, when I was much, much, much younger. I don't believe, I repulse myself a little bit, but I'm compassionate towards myself, so I pull back about some of the beliefs that I genuinely held so true to me that I struggled a lot with restriction, I struggled a lot with body preoccupation, all of these things, and it can change. And I'm not saying that it's an easy thing to change. It's why things like CBT exist, to help you manage this or become more aware of these thoughts, emotions, behaviors, and these cycles. But when it comes to improving your relationship with food, building a business, changing your dating life, etc., first of all, we always will encourage you to develop awareness to support this growth, to support this progress. But sometimes people get stuck here in this self-reflection, this developing self-awareness, this constant reflection. And what happens is that it becomes a reason why we stay stuck, because we take a more fixed approach to this. This is just how it is. This is just how I am. I figured it all out. It's because, you know, when I was 6, this happened. And then when I was 14, this happened. And then society and, you know, fashion magazines and X, Y, and Z. All of that is totally valid if that is your experience. But it's not a reason to stay stuck unless you choose for that to be the case, unless you have this more fixed approach to these things. And I wonder if you can just take, you know, 5 minutes to write down the journaling prompts and things to ask yourself that I'm about to say to you. Get your notes out, get a bit of paper out, whatever you want to do. Screenshot where we're at in the podcast so you can come back to it, whatever feels right for you. But actually to think about, you know, does this relate to me? Am I focused on self-awareness or am I focused on change? They're not mutually exclusive. We need both. Do you want to change your behaviors? Objectively, are these thoughts and beliefs and behaviors supporting you in life or holding you back? For example, procrastination, etc. What feelings arise when you pursue change and move away from this familiarity? Because again, like I said earlier on, it can feel unsafe to move away from what feels familiar to us, even if we know it's not serving us anymore. There is a reason that for so long I spoke about dating, never giving dating advice. You know that I don't do that. I am not a man with a podcast. However, I picked the same man in a different suit for 15 years. Because that felt safe. That behavior was not serving me. These men, no shade to them, but they were not serving me in almost all ways. But they felt familiar and they felt safe. And only when I developed the awareness of that and then the belief that I could change that, the belief that love doesn't look like fixing, the belief that I am worthy of secure love, these types of things, you know, let's not go down the vulnerable route today. So what feelings arise when you pursue change and move away from this familiarity? And can you come up with some sort of self-regulation tools to manage the discomfort? Because discomfort and uncertainty when you're doing something new doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just that it doesn't always mean it's right either, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. It means that it's unfamiliar and new. I know so many times I've said this quote by Susan David, courage is fear walking. It will feel uncertain. It will feel fearful to do new things. It's not going to be easy. But neither is living in a space where you use your awareness of all of your behaviours and beliefs as a reason to stay stuck. That's not going to serve you in the long term. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And as always, if you did, please do feel free to like, share, subscribe, and review. And if you would like to chat to me, then you can find details of my Instagram in the show notes.